Welcome to Puck Off.
Hey,
come on, guys.
What's up, Frage?
There he is, Joe Bartnick.
And we got the captain, Frazier Smith, back in the house.
Yeah, buddy. I was working at the Pie House this weekend. That was exciting. My career is taking off.
With the great John DiResta.
Yeah, John was there. That's funny, man. And he gave me a compliment on you. He said you guys did a gig. I forget where he said it was, but he said it was a tough gig. And the only one who really did well was you and him. He said, man, Joe was great.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, well, we did a cancer benefit.
Oh, that's what it was. He said the crowd was a little tight.
Yeah, it's,
but
you know,
you were
cancer
great.
Benefits are always never the funnest things to do. But,
sure. But they're important to do.
Yeah, it's funny. I think as comics, we all do a lot of benefits, right?
You have to, and, you know, fighting cancer is always good.
Yeah, yeah. The greatest moment of my life was when I did the Mary Lemieux benefit.
Oh, yeah, man, that was a life changer for you.
Yeah, I mean,
that's your hero.
That's my hero.
And you did well.
And I did.
And then he complimented you.
I killed. He came over to me like God. And then 3 hours later in the hotel, he comes, hey, Joe. And he's yelling in his accent. And he goes, come on, tell my jokes again to a guy that
come
missed
on.
It.
Really?
Yeah,
oh, man.
My women's basketball joke. He had to tell Jay Caulfield, the analyst on Fox,
you want to
Pittsburgh.
Tell that joke now?
Sure. Well, the gist of the joke is that they should put the women's and it's funny because now we'll get an argument with our great producer Scotty. It's a women's basketball. Yeah.
Because Scotty can play.
Yeah.
He's a hoopster.
Yeah, Scotty's a hoopster. We always wonder who's the best comic hockey player. Well, we have the best comic basketball player.
We got
player.
The best. He played college ball and he
shot
played for
40%.
Emerson,
I can't
man,
shoot
that's pretty
40%.
Good.
On PlayStation.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Anyway, the joke is they should put the women's scores on the ticker in pink. Because I'm sick of waking up and going, Duke lost by 35.
Oh,
you know,
that's
like
true.
On the couch,
yeah,
like,
that's
yeah,
true.
Yeah, that's
I do that
second.
Too. That's good.
Like,
that's good.
And then I say, yeah, I imagine needing bigger TV so I can see the asterisk where it says, it doesn't matter. I swear a little bit.
That's pretty
and then,
good.
And I say they should put women's scores on Facebook because it's just for their friends and family anyway. And the big guy liked that one. So and then all the guys liked that one. And then I was literally standing with Gary Rock, Billy Guerin, you know, powerful.
Oh, yeah, man.
All the time. He comes over, give me his big bear hug. Then half hour later, I'm surrounded by Recky, Gary Roberts, and Brian Trottier.
Wow.
For like 2 hours. Just talking hockey and then just about kids in college and my kid. And it was
so cool.
Yeah, I mean, which, so
for you, that's being in heaven.
Oh, I didn't, that's why I left early to go back and write for Fox. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to leave before I say anything stupid. And then on the plane ride home, I'm like, if the plane crashes, like, I don't care.
You
like,
don't care.
I'm not going to get better. That's like, so now I'm still, no matter what, and I've had some good things happen in my career, but still the tombstone will still say, Lemieux thought I was funny.
You know, that's, yeah. But that's the ultimate for you.
Yeah, that's the ultimate for me.
That's pretty cool.
Well, it's the same thing, though. You sat between Gordie Howe and Wayne Gretzky.
My two picks. One and two. Yeah. Yeah, that's my highlight hockey moment.
Yeah. That's.
It was an awesome experience. And, you know, what I found was that Gretzky is as gracious as everyone says and kind of disarmingly down to earth. For a superstar. You know what I mean? He just was like a regular dude. And then Howe is a cut up.
Yeah.
And he was playing tricks on me the whole time. I think he gave me a hot foot. He kept elbowing me, calling me Smitty. He was playing all kinds of jokes. Every time I'd look around, he'd steal some silverware. He's always screwing around. And
I like the hot foot. Howe's old school.
Oh,
he's
man.
He'd probably put the hot rub on you. He'd probably put the,
well, I reminded him
the
when
heat
I,
rub on you.
Yeah, well, I remind him when I went to his hockey camp. I went to his hockey camp when I was 12.
As a goalie?
No, I was. I played a little forward. I was pretty bad. But anyway, I was 12.
They put you back at goal.
Yeah. Well, what was weird was when we started playing, you know, we go to his hockey camp. It's all these Canadian kids because we're in Detroit. We're right there at the border. So all these Canadian kids came in. They were like 1,000 times better than us. They were killing me. But I had fun. You learned a lot.
Right.
You know, and it was hard. It was hard work. But it was back when you used to have, this is how old I am, your shin guards were kept on by those giant rubber bands, right? You know, so then Howe was shooting them at me on the bench. I'm 12. I'm like, what? Gordie Howe shooting a rubber band at me? It was weird. And then I saw him years later. I reminded him when I went to that thing where he was there with Gretzky.
Right.
Yeah, it was cool.
He goes, did he remember you?
No.
No. He didn't say, oh, my God, you were the worst left wing I saw in 30 years of that camp.
But he probably would have said that if he did remember me.
That's funny.
But it was cool to meet him again, you know, and he was so cool. So cool.
That's great, though. We've never really talked about your complete hockey youth background. I mean, we've chatted that you were a class AAAA goaltender.
Well, I was a pretty good goalie. Yeah. Thanks for upgrading me on that.
The puck hits you every now and then.
Every now and then you can stop one just because it hits you.
Yeah.
And
it's
called
positioning. Your positioning.
Exactly. Goaltender. It's bad when you have your mask upside down, though. That was me half the time.
You weren't a butterfly goaltender. You were a gnat, right?
Yeah. I was just standing there. I just stand there and hope they hit me. Exactly.
Right.
But
you wear a mask? You're not.
No, it was pre-mask era.
Pre-mask era.
And we had one kid, this guy Dennis Balti, he wound up playing for Michigan, college hockey, who just had a rocket shot. You know, there's always some kid that – it's like a pitcher, right, Scotty? You know, you got some – there's always some kid when he's 12 who's taller than everyone. He's shaven already, and he can throw it, you know, 70 miles an hour when you're a kid.
Right.
And that's the same thing with Balti. He had this unbelievable shot, and I would be, like, terrified every time I saw him coming down. I'm like, oh, no, not Balti. Goalie's a tough position, you know, especially back then because the pads weren't as good.
No, not at all.
Especially.
You didn't wear a mask.
Yeah.
Talking about the equipment. Yeah.
I was like Ron Duguay.
The pads weren't
as
good.
I was the last guy in junior little league hockey not to wear a mask.
Did anyone wear a mask? Any of the goalies?
No, back then, no.
No, none.
No. Very few people could actually lift it off the, you know.
Were your parents, because you're from Detroit, so were your parents pro, you playing hockey, or they didn't care?
My parents are Canadian, you know.
They had moved
to Detroit.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, so.
In-depth interview this week on.
Bucket. That's right. Well, they loved hockey, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And my dad, and they loved it, and their team was the Leafs.
Okay.
Because they grew up in the Toronto area. And my dad was a doctor, and he knew he had been like somehow one of the team doctors or something for the Leafs, and knew a bunch of the players. You know.
Wow.
And and then I, going to that hockey camp, I met all those guys. You know, I met Howe, and I met Lindsay, Terrible Ted, and Delvecchio, and all those guys from that era. And my mom and dad were totally into it. And they pushed us into little hockey. Not didn't push us into it, but they encouraged us to go to Little League hockey.
Yeah.
And I had a ball. It's just, you know, that area is hockey conscious, that kind of Detroit area, because it's close to Canada.
Sure.
And they've got great youth hockey.
Yeah, and they had the Red Wings forever. See, I came from a different background completely. My grandfather loved hockey. He used to go watch it in the Duquesne Gardens. He knew like the original Pittsburgh Pirates, they were called, and then they folded, and then the original six came out. So he went to watch the Hornets play. He used to listen to an old transistor radio. He used to listen to the Penguins play and watch like the Rangers on cable. Back then, like, he was Sports Center like in the 70s. Nobody was, and they always make fun of him. His nickname was Harry. They'd be like, "How are your Penguins doing, Harry?"
I love that though,
and he loved the game, and so he made me love the game. But my parents were like, you know, hockey was $300, and I'm not getting up at 5 in the morning. You're gonna play basketball, but I loved hockey so much. It got me through Catholic school was the intramural hockey leagues, because you got to take all your aggression out on every other kid.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, and you're a big dude. You know, the thing about it, though, is that parents, that's what parents hate about it is the driving.
Yeah. Right. Now, our esteemed producer, we have a great producer, Scott, we just talked about. He's an excellent basketball player. But did you ever? And you're from Connecticut.
That's true. I'm from Connecticut.
So you're kind of from hockey country in a way.
Well, you have to understand. So someone of my age came about in the world of hockey when the wonderful Hartford Whalers. Epic and like just. It's one of those things that when you're 9 or 10 and you start seeing people like rooting for something that you know is like, first of all, the Red Sox were never going to win a World Series. And then these people were rooting for the Whalers to return for this like amazing thing to come back. And it made hockey kind of this like mythical thing that you were like, okay, the crazy people are the ones wearing the whaler gear. And, like, if you go to the airport now, if you've ever gone to Bradley International over there just north of Hartford, you can still buy whaler's gear.
Really?
Like, you can still get that.
Wow.
And, like, it takes a certain type of person to be like, oh, they're coming back. And
some,
like,
people think they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who was their best player, would you say, of all for the Whalers that ever played?
I mean, that's one of those things that, you know, honestly, by the time I came up, like, it's a lore. This is the Whalers to me, like, in that sense, were the, like, they were the Abominable Snowman. Like, they were just, like, this thing that happened, and people told you stories. And, like, if you went to the Civic Center, people were like, the Whalers used to play here. So, like, I don't know.
Do you remember any of their players?
No, I was too young.
Right.
Yeah. Well, Captain Ron.
Yeah,
of course. Francis was their best, and then they traded him because he got, I don't know, it's a weird thing how they, Eddie Johnson was the old Penguin GM forever, and he came back to work for the Penguins, but he was there for like 2 years and traded him to Pittsburgh, so thank you.
Yeah. You know, Mike.
And literally, that collapsed the franchise. I mean, they literally, like, that was it.
That was it.
They had to.
Didn't Hal play for him?
Yeah, he was there, yep.
When he was like 70?
Yeah.
I still remember the picture of him in the hot tub looking. You know, he's like, he was like 50 then. And in those days, no people with 50 didn't do anything.
No,
you know?
Come on.
Just, he was in the hot tub with gray everything, like gray chest
oh,
there.
Man.
I'm like, he looks old.
Well, yeah, that is old to be playing.
Yeah.
You know, I had a grandfather that loved hockey, and he lived in a town called Chatham, Ontario, which is about 50 miles from the Detroit border. And they had a minor league team called the Chatham Maroons. And it was, I don't know what the league was. Maybe it was OHL, Ontario Hockey League, whatever. But he would take me to the games. And they were the nuttiest fans. And it was like the movie Slapshot. That's what it was like. And they had a crazy goalie. And they had some, their captain was some nutty guy that would get out of jail. They'd let him out of jail to play the game. Some crazy guy. And then the goalie, I was at a game, but the goalie got so mad about a call that he took his stuff off and was throwing it into the stands. He threw his glove into the stands, threw his stick into the stands, took his jersey off, threw it into the stands. It, just crazy stuff would happen, and I would go, this is like a circus.
That's who I'm going to get as a guest. My back trainer, he used to be a trainer for they won the cup in Germany. Like whatever the championship in Germany was, he used to be the
the
trainer. Yeah, we'll have to get him on here. I do want to mention a couple fans that have emailed in questions, complaints, anything like that. So we always we love the fans. Thanks again for listening.
Yeah, both of you. Hey, come on.
We got
a lot of fans. So we appreciate it. I'll
tell you. The first one, we get to Patrick out of the fighting town of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, Philly's the toughest town.
Philly's a tough town. We love that town. And he you know, for a Flyer fan, and you know the rivalry, Pittsburgh, Philly. He's a lot of good points he made. He says that I too often call the Broad Street Bullies the Bullies, and I say, oh, you know, it's Barber and
Schultz.
Well, you know, it's funny you didn't mention Schultz on your top 20 favorite players.
I do love Schultz.
I just thought he didn't make your top 20. That wouldn't have the hammer.
I do love him.
Don't want the hammer coming.
You don't want the hammer mad at you.
We'll apologize to the hammer. No, you know, Bobby Clark and Barber.
Oh, well, Clark, you know.
No, anyway, so I always say it's Bobby Clark, it's Clark and Barber, and then, you know, 15 goons. And he just wanted to mention that they did have Reggie Leach, and they did have Reggie McLeish. And they did have Ross Lonsberry.
All pretty good players.
Yeah, you can't miss Reggie Leach and Reggie McLeish, especially Leach.
How about Ed Van Imp? Certainly the all name team.
Yeah, the all name team. But it was funny because Ross Lonsberry actually then became a Penguin. And, you know, Orris Kinderchuk became a Penguin. I always liked his name, Orris Kinderchuk.
Yeah.
And even Schultze became a Penguin because that was the Penguins of that era. They would always get the has-been Flyers then, you know, once the Flyers were past their prime. But just a little correction, and you're right, Patrick. So we give credit where credit's due, we say, like I said about Bonino, when I'm wrong or when I'm slightly wrong. Reggie Leach and McLeish are definitely not chopped a liver. It definitely helped with that win. Now, two interesting things. One, a guy named Kirby, he thinks he's our biggest fan in Australia.
So, really?
Yeah.
We have fan. Really?
Shout out to Kirby.
Wow,
in
Kirby.
Australia, because I love Australia for two things.
Hockey and Kangaroos.
AC/DC.
Oh, man.
My favorite
band. One of my all-time favorites.
That's my favorite band of all time.
I love him. And
Jim Jeffries.
Jim Jeffries is awesome.
Yeah.
Isn't he?
Yeah. I mean, he's one of my top fives of all. Jim Jeffries is one of my top fives of all time.
Cool, yeah.
Yeah, so if you're in Australia, Kirby, thank you for AC/DC, and thank you for Jim Jeffries. And thanks for being our, I think, our number one fan in Australia. So
Kirby, way to go.
But anyone, any more out
there? Do they have hockey over there?
He says they do, but it's interesting because he says we're rekindling his love of hockey after he used to play Sega all the time.
Oh, really?
And I think so many kids, and maybe you can speak to this, Scott, as not a hockey guy per se, that hockey is probably every kid's favorite sport video game. I mean, and maybe next to Madden.
Well, yeah.
But, I mean, I loved it. I mean, so many kids that didn't like hockey liked Sega hockey, right?
Well, it's one of those things, that, and it kind of goes in with what you talked about, the parents and getting your kids into hockey, because the first time when you're a kid and you go to a hockey game, like, it makes all the sense. You know what I mean? Like, it's when you see it on television, it's tough, because I was 9 or 10, I think, when they did the lighting puck, where they had the puck light up.
Yeah. Oh,
wow.
Like, so, I mean, but when the first time, if you ever get a chance to go to a game, it's awesome. And then when you play the video game too, you understand it in a way that you can't on television, which
that's
is
a great point,
Scott. You know, that's a real good point. You're right. You hear that all the time. People who are non-hockey fans, the first time they go, they have a whole different experience.
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially, and I went to school in Boston, and then my first gig was working in New Haven covering Yale hockey. So, I mean, if you can ever get your kid, especially to a college hockey game, I mean, that's kind of, to me at least, some of the most fun, because
they're exciting.
This student section and a live band out there, and then watching the action. It's you know, that's just a little bit sloppy enough that kind of, you know, it doesn't look so picture perfect that it's like really.
That's a good point.
If you wanted to play, you'd go, oh, I think I could fall around like those guys fall around out there, you know, which is fun.
Well, and you're right about the crowds too. The crowds are energized. I go to those Michigan games still sometimes when I'm back home, and the crowds have these. I guess they have it in hoops too. You know how the Duke basketball crowd has all those little cheers and stuff that they have worked out. They have them for the hockey too at Michigan.
Yeah,
it's fun to watch.
There is something about live hockey. There was a lady my grandmother knew who took her dad to a game, and she's like, you know, this is way back in the early 70s. Like, she's like, I'm going to bring my needlepoint in a book. It'll be over quick. She left the season tickets.
Wow.
Yeah.
She went thinking she was going to hate it.
Wow.
And left buying season tickets. You know?
Isn't that something? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's just the way it is. I mean, it's a great game.
Well, yeah. And it's like one of those things that in person, when you watch it, like, especially if you're a casual hockey fan that I was before I started covering it professionally, you kind of have an idea. But when you're there in person, it's just an opportunity. It's like I tell people all the time, like, if you can take your kids and they can see what's happening, and you can, the way it's, the seating is even set up that you look down upon it and you can watch where people are, and you just instinctively get it. And that was, especially for my generation, because you got to remember, I'm Mighty Ducks was what brought tons of kids out, because I didn't play regular hockey, but I played roller hockey all the time.
Everyone have
inline skates, and you went outside every weekend in the cul-de-sacs, and just like, we're at a basketball court, and no one was playing basketball. Everyone wanted to be, you know, everyone wanted to play roller hockey because of Mighty Ducks. So,
and Mighty Ducks probably did get a lot of people into the game.
I like Scott's point too about when you're there. I think on TV, It looks almost like, you can do it, you know. Like, it doesn't look as, you kind of forget that. No, those guys are going 100 miles an hour and they're on skates and they got to stop.
And then
when you're there, you realize like how just incredibly skilled they are. If you've ever even been on ice and tried to just stop a puck with a stick, someone passes to you easily, it's pretty hard.
Well, you know, it's funny. I played celebrity softball one time, and Luke Robitaille was in the game. And you know, so it was one of these things where he was rounding the base, and he accidentally ran into me. I went flying. Dude, I flew about 20 feet. I mean, those guys are solid, man.
He owes us that.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. I'm still injured from that.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It really happened. Man, yeah. Let me ask you guys. So this is the stupidest question probably ever asked on
this
show.
That's so funny.
Do you think what would happen if they gave Emilio Estevez an NHL team for a season? How do you think he'd do? Let's say they gave him a decent team.
Does he get to bring the kid who can hit the knuckle puck with him? is Kenan Thompson going to come too?
Does he do the egg drill?
Yeah.
Well, that's a bigger philosophical point about coaching in the NHL, actually.
Well, what if you have a loaded team? I guess it's true for any sport, right?
That's what I mean. Can you motivate? Is it motivation or are they actually coaching?
Well, didn't they? Who was it on this show that we talked about Lasorda last week? No, I don't think it was. It was, I think it was the baseball podcast I do with Jay. Somebody had asked Lasorda, what would you do if you had to coach a hockey team? Could you coach a hockey team? Tommy Lasorda.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, no. He says, no way. And then he came back to the guy later, and he goes, it was a comic. It was Ron Pearson. That's who it was.
Yeah.
It was Ron. Remember Ronnie?
We actually talked about it in between shows.
And Lasorda said, you know what? I take that back. He goes, you know, that's what I do is motivate. He goes, that's my thing, is to get the best out of people. And what I do is I have, you know, motivational skills. That's my thing. So, yeah, if you gave me a hockey team, I bet I could.
If you saw the way Blazma coached last year, you think I think Charlie Sheen could have coached better in the playoffs than Blazma did.
Yeah, Charlie Sheen could have coached the slap shot.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, though. One other note from a fan, and this is brings Scott in on this one, too, because he'll probably be involved. Is David O'Dwyer wants to know what I think of fantasy hockey and should we start a puck off fantasy league?
Well, that's a good idea.
Which is a great idea. Yeah. What I think of it, I've done a couple of the leagues and it's interesting. I think it'd be fun. We have one for us. I've done a couple for Punch. I did one for Punch Drunk, a podcast I'm associated with, and a couple other ones.
How'd it go? Was that...
It was good, and then people just fall out, and then people are mad at me because I don't change guys all the time. And people think I don't care, but it's like I'm not going to take Malkin out, and then the next day I'm in an airport, and then he scores a hat trick because I didn't put him back in.
Right. Good point.
And then people think I'm not – like I like to generally just put a lineup in, and then if he misses the game – or I don't like to over – that's just kind of my philosophy in life is I don't overmanage.
Yeah,
you know? But would you be interested in being –
I think it sounds like a great idea.
I think it would be fun to get the fans weekend. Scott, would you – have you ever played fantasy hockey?
I have not played fantasy hockey, but I do think any type of thing where it engages the fans, like if you're – it gives you a different appreciation, which is the one thing you guys were just talking about with motivating players is hockey is one of those things when you interview anybody who is involved in a hockey team, they talk so much about how they're doing it for the other guys they play with, which is like a different than a lot of other sports where you have, you know, your own stats you're looking for. But for hockey, then it's an interesting, you know, where they start to get into those advanced metrics, like what's your usage? Like how much are you actually doing things to affect a win share? And that sort of thing is a different appreciation for guys who are just like, well, they're trying their best. And it's like, well, they might try their best, but maybe someone else has some other, like, skills we can measure now, you know?
Yeah.
Like Fraser was trying his best without a mask, but maybe not have a mask.
It wasn't exactly Jacques Plante.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's a fun – the only thing there is you got to stay on top of with hockey. With football, you have a whole week. If a guy's out or injured or something, you got a chance to, you know, reshuffle the deck.
Well, that
hockey, you're playing every night.
Yeah, that was my thing was like, you know, I'm still like, I mean, you know, you can be mad at me all you want about, you know, Barnick doesn't pay attention to the league. It's like, well, yeah, but I still have like all the guys I picked. They're still the best guys in my opinion.
Right. Well, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, what I'm saying is I'm not – the inner workings, it's kind of like baseball. You have to have your pitchers in. So sometimes there might be a Thursday when Malkin's not playing. So, but I don't take him out of my lineup because I know that I might be busy Friday and forget. Then I'm going to forget to put him back in. So I'd rather just go with this, you know. But other than that, I think I want to do it. But I just, you know, throwing it out there. I think it's a great idea, David. And
David,
we'll get it going.
Good idea.
Yeah.
I'm still interested in what Kirby's doing down there in Australia. I mean, do they have hockey down there? They must, right?
Sure.
Do they have an Olympic team, an Australian hockey Olympic team?
I think they do. Yeah. Well, Kirby, email me back and we'll figure out the details.
Yeah, we got to find out.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. They're a regular country.
Yeah, put a kangaroo in goalie.
Without a mask.
No mask. He's rolling.
I'm positive they have hockey down there.
They must, right?
Yeah. Because I think some NHL guys went down there and played. You know, it's one of those things where you fell out of the NHL.
Now, what about the Russian League? You know, the Russian League.
Well, it's the second best league in the world.
Right. Now,
just has bad travel accommodations.
Do ex-NHLers play over in that league?
Well, yes. A lot of them. That was the big one. The guy from Ilya Kovalchuk. Remember, he jumped from New Jersey and just.
Oh, that's right.
He just went over there and played.
Yeah,
and
who looked great in the Olympics.
He did. He did. Well, he's an easier schedule. He was rested.
Yeah,
he had a little more to play for. But you know, some of those guys. I mean, they have a few really great guys, but they keep trying to get more and more guys to come over there. A lot of people want to play against the best. B, a lot of people just like the American lifestyle. And C, it's dangerous.
How about a plane that you know is going to get off the ground?
Yeah, I mean, it's sad that they travel like they do. But you know, like, Keenan went over there and won the KHL Cup.
That's right.
With the team from Malkin's hometown. Matagorst,
something like that.
Yeah. But no, it's legit. It's the second best league in the world.
Right.
It's just spread out. I mean, I think we've talked about this before. I think that's the end game, I think, in super hockey. I think in my lifetime, well, hopefully in my lifetime, I hope I live 20 years. I think that there's going to be like 10 teams in North America and 10 teams in Europe that play super hockey.
Right. Do you think they are in the same league when they?
Yeah, and then that'll be the Stanley Cup.
You're right, and air travels faster,
supersonic. And, yeah. Well, it'll be like the two leagues. It'll be like the European/Russian be in one conference, and then American Canadian will be in the other conference.
Right, right. Now, Scotty, you know, like in hoops, some NBA guys when they are at the tail end of their career, they go over to Europe, right?
Correct,
and so that happens quite a bit, right?
Yeah, that's it's the Europe and like international leagues represent the beginning of a career. Like say you're a guy who didn't catch on right away.
Right.
You can go and start your career there and then put up numbers, or at the tail end of your career. I mean, bizarrely enough, the biggest story of that is Stephon Marbury, who was, for most part, a knucklehead talent when he was in the NBA.
Right.
He made a lot of money. Was basically the worst teammate anyone ever had by the time he was done.
Yeah.
But then he went to China, and all of a sudden he's their captain and like the most revered player on their team, and he's won two championships in the Chinese Basketball Association, which is like everyone who goes over there is just like, no, he's like a completely different person. And so, I mean, yeah, it's the international game and having that option, I think, sometimes, because you never know. Sometimes you just have to get a guy in a different environment. You know, all those high school kids who want to go and skip college and go play pros, they go over there and see what life is like somewhere else where maybe you don't have your Xbox with you all the time and you start to, have a different appreciation. So,
and Major League Baseball players have done it for years, going to Japan and stuff at the end of their career, right, for a couple more years?
Yep.
How's the level of play?
Well, go ahead, Joe.
Oh, no. Well, in hockey, I mean, tons of guys, even back in the early 90s, would go play in Germany and all the other leagues. There's a million leagues over the Italian leagues. I mean, every country's leagues. It's just that the KHL actually put together, it's really the second best league.
What if they had an international?
It's actually competitive with the NHL as far. I mean, it's like the ABA.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's actually a threat.
How would they do it?
It's not like, oh, you're done. I'm going to go play in France. It's
right.
Like, oh, you could make really good tax-free money if you want to take some sketchy airlines.
Right.
there was a guy, 2 years ago, he actually decided rather than try and catch
Ilya
on.
Kovalchuk.
Yeah, he decided to go play over there.
Yeah, and he really, it was kind of shady in the sense that he signed a really ridiculous contract that kind of was going to hurt, because of the salary cap, the Devils forever.
Right.
So it was kinda,
all those Devil fans
kinda,
hate him, man.
It was kind of cool that he left in a way. He was a very one-dimensional, me-first kind of player. Even he kind of is the last season they went to, they lost to the Kings actually in the finals.
Yeah.
So he kind of had a good about a season, a season of kind of proving that he was more than just a scorer, me guy. But still, his contract was an albatross. They better get rid of it. But it hurt the NHL in the sense because the Devils won. The Devils didn't fight him on it.
Right.
And the rest of the NHL was like, you can't let him just go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like if Malkin decided that, the Penguins would, or if Ovechkin decided
to leave. Sure, if all those guys bailed.
The Capitals would fight him tooth and nail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the Devils were like, oh, yeah, okay. Here's your visa.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
So we'll see. But I just think that the way the money is and the way the cities are, I mean, they're all going to get swallowed up to be the 10 biggest cities.
Yeah.
America,
I see what you're saying.
And the 10 biggest cities. Yeah. And then, you know, Pittsburgh and Philly and Washington, we'll have great minor league or whatever non-super league hockey is. But, you know, New York, Chicago, Toronto, Montreal, you know, and L.A. will have the super league. Hmm. And then you pick your five cities over in Europe or whatever.
Now,
do
you remember when the Summit Series first happened? I think it was called the Summit Series. It was the first time the Russians played the NHL stars.
Right.
And I just remember they shut all of Canada down. They let the kids off of school. It was like a national holiday.
Right.
And they thought they were going to roll because, you know, Canada had been so dominant. I just Googled this recently. I hope I have some of this correctly. But they were shocked in the first three games. Russia went up 3-0, maybe 3-1 in the series, and Canada had to come from behind to win that series. and they had all the old, the guys we were talking about last week, all the old NHL stars.
Right, yes.
But the guy who was the real star of the series was Paul Henderson.
Well, he scored the golden, or the whatever the goal, the,
yeah,
whatever and, they call
but
it.
But he had also scored a couple other key goals in that series. Not the guy you would expect to be the star of that. And what I heard was that Phil Esposito, really rallied the troops. He gave him a pep talk at one point and said, we can't lose to these guys.
Oh, yeah.
It looks bad for the whole country. We can't afford to lose this series.
The HBO special on that is amazing.
I haven't seen that. I'd love to see that.
They said that Espo would be – he would piss off the Russians because he would bring them – he was giving the kids over there like bubble gum. And the people would just be like amazed, like they would wear jeans, and people were just like, just amazing. Yeah, it's just amazing. But here's something I watched. I watched a special on. You know how we always credit Bobby Hall with the first curved stick,
right?
It was actually Stan Mikita.
Really?
Well, Stan Mikita got his stick caught in one of the boards at the old Chicago Stadium,
right?
And so it was got caught. So when he ripped it out, it was bent.
Wow!
So he was like, "I'm gonna sit here and he took a couple shots with it. You're just screaming the puck over the net." And they're like, "Well, that's amazing." So then Hall comes over, and goes, "Where'd you get that stick from?" And he told him,
"Wow!"
So then him and Mikita started just trying to break their sticks in the wall, and it was like $20 sticks. And in those days, the equipment managers are like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
You're breaking sticks. They're like, no, well, we'll order them that way.
Wow, okay.
And that started the whole
that's
thing.
That's how it started,
yeah, that's
huh?
how it started, wow. Yeah.
And then Hall used to use the blowtorch.
Right, yeah, because that's what Mikita was just saying. Before any of that, they used to try to break them in the door
wow.
jams. And then finally someone's like, what are you doing? We'll try to order them with a little bend.
The mother of invention.
So
isn't
I knew,
that weird?
Yeah. So I knew that we talked about it. So Stan Mikita gets a...
That's cool. That's a cool story.
Yeah, he gets credit for that. That's pretty fun.
Guys, just an update, just so we're all on the same page here. The Australia men's national ice hockey team does exist, and they have their own hockey league there in Australia. And currently the Australian team is ranked 32nd in the IIHF World Hockey Rankings.
Wow.
So not exactly the best at hockey, but they are playing it.
They're playing.
Yeah, yeah. They're playing down there.
Come on, man.
That's pretty good.
That's cool.
32 is pretty, I mean... I don't know. Well, I don't know. Canada, U.S., and then 30 teams in Europe, I guess.
They're just above Ghana.
Yeah. I guess Japan plays.
And the Hartford Whalers are there somewhere, too.
Probably up above the Whalers.
Yeah.
Who are coming back, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm predicting
whenever the Islanders were looking for a new home before they decided to move to Brooklyn, the Hartford Whale was the Whale was one of the places they were looking at.
You think Hartford gets another shot?
Not for a long time because, like we talked about a couple weeks ago, they're looking to expand out west for two to even it up.
Right.
I think.
Who do you think's next?
Well, Seattle for sure.
Oh, that'd be good. Seattle would be good, right?
And then probably Salt Lake City, like you said, was your great answer.
Yeah.
But I mean, see, their best chance was the Islanders moving there. Because now the new team in the East, they're going to split the Toronto market. They're going to do it.
Are they?
Yeah. I mean, there's too much money. The Toronto will fight it, but there's too much money there. There's too much money in the suburbs. I mean, they could field two more. If Hamilton got a regular great arena.
Which current franchise do you think is having the most trouble?
Oh, the Phoenix Coyotes.
Oh, okay.
If you don't, not including them, either Nashville or the Florida Panthers. But the Florida Panthers just have a new owner with a ton of money, and he's committed to staying there. So,
all right. Cool. Oh, okay.
So Nashville, I don't think, does very well. And now they're trying to get some offense. They just hired Lavalette. They got some new guys. They brought in James Neal. I don't know. I think Nashville's a tough mark. I think Nashville's a tough, tough nut to crack.
Yeah, the Predators were good a couple years ago, though.
Well, you know, the problem with the Predators was they were good with Barry Trotz's defensive system that then you get to playoffs, you get smoked. Yeah. And I think it's hard to bring people into hockey 2-0 games.
Right.
I don't know.
They want to see goals.
Yeah. I mean, because, you know, what's lucky is a lot of the teams nowadays, they have rich owners now. Even Buffalo, Terry Pegula. Worth like $1 trillion, you know what I mean? Like that's what you need. You need money to compete in the NHL.
How about Winnipeg? How are they holding up?
As a franchise, great. As a team on the ice, not so good.
Right, but
they're in the Western. No one they have to draft well because we've said this before. Vancouver can get players. As much as I think Calgary is a nice city, no one wants to play there. And no one wants to play in Edmonton. And nobody wants to play in Winnipeg.
Yeah, probably
not. They just don't.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like,
so it's tough to get people out there.
Tough to get people up there. You got to draft them. You know? Yeah. And then you're looking at – I mean, look at Edmonton. I mean, I just read an article today about Edmonton. And it's like, you know, like they're saying they're on the hot seat. It's like they really – he was terrible last year. They didn't fire him. Our old buddy Craig McTavish is the GM.
All right.
I'm glad he didn't wear a helmet for all those years because he needs all those head injuries to work up there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the professor's wife didn't want to have anything to do with that.
No, not at all.
That's Scrivens, my buddy.
Yeah. So what's your favorite? What's your first really great memory of watching hockey, Frazier?
My first memory.
Like, what was the one thing that you just, like, either a Red Wings win or you were at the game or on TV?
You know what it was? It was probably Michigan hockey, college hockey. We had a guy named Red Berenson who wound up coaching.
Yeah.
And he played in the NHL, played for Canadiens, and he was a really good college player. It's like in hoops, Scotty. You know how you get a guy that's really great in college, and then the next level they're just okay?
Right.
That's how this guy was. I mean, he was awesome in college. And I remember as a kid, you'd go down and watch the games. And you're right. When you go to a live hockey game, you get into it because they're always exciting. And college hockey's exciting because it's usually a pretty small arena, so that keeps all the energy in the room, and it's just awesome, you know? Right. And Red Berenson was our star. And just watching him dominate, you're like, wow, look at that guy. He's better than anybody, you know. And that was my first – I just remember his skating ability and, you know, in college he just took over.
Yeah. I told the story. We used to always go to the Penguin games for – not for free, but really cheap when we were kids. We'd take the subway down. And I've told the Billy Smith story several times about going and we heckled Billy Smith and he came up and yelled at us.
Yeah.
But my favorite then as a kid, my favorite, my next really great live memory of hockey was I was 18 years old maybe, and my buddy Tony Caruso Cuddy had like the first cell phone on Earth. It was like the size of Scott's laptop computer.
Yeah,
you know, and he called me and I'm like, where you at? He goes, I'm outside your place. I'm like, what? And he goes, yeah, I got two tickets right behind the penalty boxes for the game. You want to give me a go? I'm like, oh, my God, absolutely. Like, you never get seats
right,
like that.
Come on.
They were just starting to get good then, you know, or like Lemieux and a couple other guys. So we get down there. And we're right behind the box, and there's and Cuddy's just like, you know, just, you know, I know you, just calm down, don't yell at the whole time. Just so I'm like, okay, hey, yeah, thanks for the seats, Cuddy. So we're there, and literally Lemieux had 5 goals.
Wow.
and 2 or 3 assists. I don't know if he had 7 points or 8 points. I forget.
Wow.
Right. This is like 86.
And how old were you?
Like 18. This was like 85, 86.
Right.
And it was just amazing. It was just a clinic. So then about 5 minutes left, Rick Vi. Remember Rick Vi?
Yeah.
Old school goon. Not goony like Schultzy, but just, you know, dick.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. He starts getting in a fight with Lemieux.
Oh.
Just for no reason. Just, you know, just old school hockey. So then they skate to the penalty box. And Lemieux's like 18. He looks like he's 10, you know.
Right.
So we're just like, you know, yeah, we're yelling at Vibe and everything. And all of a sudden it quiets down then. And Lemieux just looks over and he's like, Hey, Vibe. You know, with his real French accent back then.
Right.
Vibe's all grizzled old veteran. He just looks up at him and Lemieux's like, F you. It was just it was like, yeah, we finally got a team. It was like when we drafted Mean Joe, like it took me like 20 years, but we finally saw like we were just going to like my first step to like, we're going to be a hockey team. Like we finally like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it's like,
that was a moment.
We're moving on up.
Yeah.
We're moving on up. But he actually just disgraced people to me that game. Like it was just ridiculous. And that was back in the Robbie Brown, like, you know, Michael, you know, Wendell Young and were his line mates. I mean, it was just like, he was playing with me and you.
Well, he had to carry the team for several years there.
And that's what was sad. Just a couple of times last year when I watched the Penguins, whenever like Malkin would be out and they really had no one but like Sid and Kunitz. And I'm like, oh my God, it was the first time, you know, for like the last 20 years, 30 years, 20, whatever math, we've always had a couple guys that could score.
Right.
Then we had the Jagr era. Then, you know what I mean? We always had somebody that could. It was just like watching. It was like, oh my God. Like, it's like back in when I was a kid. Like, if Lemieux's not on the ice, like Sid, we're not going to score.
Right,
it was very depressing.
Yeah.
It was like, well, we're just waiting for him to jump over the boards. Like, or just waiting for the power play. Like, oh, dear God. Like, the rest is just like, we're looking outside.
But it's weird in a team sport where one guy is able to carry the whole team.
Yeah.
You know, isn't it? I mean, whether it's hoops or whether it's whatever, you know, this guy was actually able to carry the team.
Right. I mean, in hockey, it's interesting because they don't play all the time. I mean, a goaltender can really carry a team. But it's more like carrying a team by just not losing.
Right.
Not actually win because they're stopping the puck, but like to actually just bring all the offense.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. Well, he's a super amazing player.
Right, yeah.
You know, I mean, he's a superstar. And at a certain level, there's only 3 guys that were ever that good.
Well, I was going to say, that was the reason like that I got into hockey even as a kid was, you know, picture it this way, I'm 6 when Mighty Ducks comes out. So that's like, you know, that's a movie and you get into it. And I had a friend who played hockey. He was one of those kids who was up at 5 in the morning and parents drove him to hockey practice. And like, everyone's like, oh, what's up with Tom? Like, how come this is like this crazy thing? But I went over his house and it was one of those things where it was like a Saturday and you're like, I don't know, maybe in 3rd or 4th grade. And I was talking about Mighty Ducks and is it like that? And he goes, you want to see something? Watch this. And so he had what was like at the time, I guess, a VHS tape of Wayne Gretzky playing. And I knew he was with the Kings because he used to always wear the Kings jersey. And it was this game in which Gretzky scored like a hat trick, but also assisted on like 2 other goals. And it was like a VHS and he knew exactly like where to stop the tape and be like, watch this. And it was one of those moments that even as a kid, you were just like, wow, that guy's like so much better than every other person.
Right.
And like it got to a point where that was one of the things that I remember as a kid. If I knew that the Kings were playing, if I was watching, if hockey came up and the Kings were playing, I would stop and watch it the same way other people would watch Michael Jordan and just, I want to see what he's going to do. And that was one of those moments where you kind of understood like a next level, I mean, granted, you know, next level talent. But now, I mean, that's the thing. If you can see a player, whether it's like Sid or, you know, Ovechkin, you can see it again and you can go, oh, that guy's so great.
That guy.
Yeah. Because like you said, it's the skill involved is so hard to translate sometimes on television that when someone's that good and can make it translate, I mean, that was from that point on, I was like, well, I don't know how to skate, but if I were to play hockey,
I'd be that guy.
I'd be that guy.
Yeah.
Gretzky's my guy.
Yeah.
Did you ever play rod hockey when you were a kid? The game that that was my all time favorite.
Oh yeah, that's a great.
That's just the best. They ruined it now because now they put little wiggles in the players.
Oh no, that's
like on the slits. So you can't just jam.
Yeah, you got jamming. It was the whole way. Come on, man.
That's all it is. I was, and that's why always Guy Lafleur was always my center. I was just throwing them in, boom. You know, just slam.
Oh, you
in.
Probably killed people with that.
Yeah, we ran through game. I mean, you run through a game a winner. You know, just like you just wear it out. You know, or you lose two of the pucks, and it's like we can get the pucks. My mom would have a fit to go buy a whole new game because you can't find two pucks. You know,
that's
like
funny.
Someone throws a puck and then that's it. You know, it's like, but that was my one of my all time favorite. I mean, that still is my all. I bought my nephew's one, a good one, not like arcade level, but like better than we had when we were kids. Oh. They love it. They've had it for 3 years. Like they play it. Like
oh, it's awesome,
day.
Man. It's awesome. Now I've got to say one thing. I remember. I go back to that Summit series. The Russians had a guy, and we at that point had never seen the Russian players. They had this guy Karmolov, and I Googled it the other day. I don't know what his first name was, but Scotty, you might want to check. He was unbelievable. He was like their Gretzky,
right?
And in that Summit series, he was killing Canada. They had no answer for him. They couldn't stop him. Finally, Bobby Clark.
That was
come on, Philly.
That was our John Moses, our guest, when you were in Vegas.
Right.
From Toronto. Yeah, he said that his dad hated the Flyers because of that, because he thought it looked bad for, it was a bad move for Canada.
Well, the coach said, hey, slow that guy down. So he slowed him down. He broke his ankle.
Flyer hockey.
It was Flyer hockey.
So it was his name.
I was glad he did it, though, in a way, because that Karmolov guy, Canada couldn't stop him.
Yeah. Oh, Patrick. Yeah, Patrick. It wasn't Russ Lonsberry.
Who
broke his leg.
Knocked him out of there, man. And it's a good thing for Canada because that guy was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting to Google those guys because I you know, I'd forgotten about him. Then somebody mentioned him, and I thought.
What was the first cup that did you were you alive when Detroit, when Gordie Howe won with? Do you remember those?
Well, I was alive. I don't know if it registered or not. I can't remember what year the last.
I'm not trying to.
No, I just can't remember what year they won.
They were pretty early. It was pretty early.
Yeah, sometime in the 50s.
Yeah.
But Detroit had great teams then.
We had great teams. Absolutely. But was your first one you remember, was it Stevie Y's?
That was the first cup I think I remember. But I remember watching, Hockey Night in Canada. Way back, see, we were close to the border,
right?
And so we got Hockey Night in Canada, which I think comes from Toronto still, and it was like on the CBC,
right?
And you know, we got that in Detroit, and so every Friday night it was like it was TV hockey,
right?
You know, and you know, it was the Big Six, it was just the six teams, you know,
right?
But you watched it, and you know, the Mahovlich brothers. Were big and Tim Horton.
Yeah, no, I was just trying to get a little more childhood memories. I was just wondering about just like cups because I mean my first is interesting because I mean I was lucky enough to see the King's Cup in person. That was
really
the best. Yeah. I've said it on the air.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, with the first one with Bill, but the three Penguin Cups, I only saw one of them as it happened.
Really? Yeah.
You know the story. I mean, this gets back to our guy in Australia. The first time I saw the Penguins won the cup, Brian Johnson of AC/DC was holding up a replica cup.
Really?
Yeah, this is the truth. Obviously, I only tell the truth, but I mean, this is, yeah. So, first Penguins in the finals of the Stanley Cup, right, against the North Stars. Right. Game six. We have tickets to see AC/DC. What are you going to do? This is like...
That's a real problem.
If it's game seven, literally, I probably would have just watched the hockey game. Like, I couldn't have went like for game seven.
Yeah, I can't for game seven.
But game six, right? So it's in the middle. Like, it's almost near... It's near the end of the concert. Just like it's almost near the end of the concert. And all of a sudden, you know, and you're drunk and, you know, almost forgetting that you're supposed to be worrying about game six. You know? All of a sudden, you hear Brian Johnson goes, congratulations, Pittsburgh, you've won the Stanley Cup. And he comes out God. With like a silver, like, you know, like a fake one they must have made, like a roadie made, and he held it up. And then on like the big screen, over the big screen, there's just picture Lemieux gliding, kissing the cup.
Oh, wow.
Place just went apeshit. like it's an AC/DC concert.
Wow. And then
Yeah.
And then they sang Long Way to the Top.
And then, yeah. And then literally, and people in Pittsburgh listen to this podcast, and they'll remember. Because then the concert was at Star Lake. It's called something different now. But it's near the airport. And that's why there was a riot at the airport. And literally, it was because almost everybody at that concert just went straight to the airport.
Yeah,
just
we're
going to meet the team when they come back from Minnesota. And then I saw the second one on TV. They were in Chicago. But then the third one, the Sid Cup, I was opening for Lampanelli, the Queen, down in San Diego at Speckles.
Right.
It's an old theater. Couldn't even get like TV reception. You didn't have a television.
Oh, man.
So I'm listening to it on our tour manager's laptop. It would like start to buffer.
Right.
Just like panicking. Like we're up 2-0. We're up 2-0. Then they scored with like 4 minutes left. The Red Wings.
Yeah.
It was like,
I remember.
And all of a sudden this computer starts buffering. I'm like, oh, so I start calling my wife. Just tell me it's on. And it's like, the show's supposed to start. It's a theater. So they pretty much run. And they're like, the Queen was, that's how cool the Queen is. She's like, hold this show up like 5 minutes.
I love her for that.
He can't go on.
I'm like, she knows.
Yeah, like if it goes to overtime, I'd have to go on. But yeah, then they have the intermission anyway. But it's like, I couldn't, like, it's like 30 seconds left. Like, but just hold the show a couple minutes. Like,
well, I got a story on that too, on that game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my buddy calls me and he goes, hey, come on over and watch the game. You know, and I know he's a Pittsburgh fan. Okay, cool. You know, whatever. So I thought it was
That's
just,
the worst when you let.
Well, I thought it was just going to be him and his wife and like a couple people. That's usually when. So I get over there. It's 100 Pittsburgh fans and me. I'm the only Detroit fan. And they're just mocking me. And then when we lost, oh, man, they were just all over me, man.
Yeah. Sorry, Frage.
Yeah. Wow, dude. Thanks for telling me. It's going to be a Pittsburgh nest of Pittsburgh fans.
Yeah. Well, we nest up.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you know, you do have a lot of fans out on the West Coast. You know, your fan base is big.
Yeah. Even this year when we went to the Kings game, I mean, there was like half the crowd was Penguin fans. It probably will be less this year again then because they won the cup. But I guess the year off the cup. Penguin fans just pay whatever to see the Penguins unless it's everyone's hurt. Like the one year that Sid and Gino didn't play, and Stahl was like the main guy. It was like 30% Penguin fans, but if Lemieux or Jagr or Sid and Gino are playing, it's gonna people are loyal.
Well, and Pittsburgh fans are great. You know,
and I'm not just saying. And Red Wings fans travel. Like I used to always go watch the Red Wings play San Jose. It would always be half Red Wings fans.
Yeah,
there's like Rangers, a lot of Philly, like the big teams from back east. They all come.
They all draw.
Yeah, that's why Arizona still exists as a franchise.
Right.
I've told that story many times. I got $6 StubHub tickets, getting the third row.
Yeah, you drive out.
Everybody there is from a different. I mean, like Boston, Chicago, Detroit, every city represents in Phoenix.
Yeah. Well, I remember going to see. I told you this before. My buddy Pat Hughes played for the Oilers.
Right.
So we go to see Hughes, who I knew from college. And then after the game, we'd hang out. Well, it was all, the Oiler fans, they came out too. There was a ton of them back then. And he was Gretzky's buddy. So I got to hang out with him and Gretzky. We'd hang out.
Not a bad night.
It was unbelievable, man. We went to and I knew, I told you this too, I knew that Gretzky was going to come down here because Bruce McNall, the owner, would send, he's the Kings owner, and he's sending a limo for Gretzky. Well, I guess you would do that anyway, maybe.
Right.
But then they would take us to some private club in Beverly Hills. So it's me at the bar. I'm standing there with my buddy Pat and Gretzky at the bar. And there's all these models, and it was like, whoa.
There you go.
It was pretty wild.
I'll tell one more, then we can get a run. About traveling, teams traveling. So when my first, I was in San Francisco, and my birthday was the night after this game is a Friday night game. I hadn't seen my cousin in like a year. So I hadn't seen my cousin in like a year, but my buddy, my roommate, we went down to the game. He's from Pittsburgh. Went to the game at San Jose. I'm in the men's room, staying there doing my business. My cousin walks in and goes, "Hey!" Right? Beautiful. Start that off great. Ends up, we won 9-2.
Wow.
I'm wearing a Ron Francis jersey. He's a hat trick and two assists.
Nice.
Jager has like two goals, three assists, and Lemieux has a goal and four assists. That was like they all played the same line back. That was that era of like done winning cups. We'll just let the big guys keep scoring. So the place was crazy. I'd throw my hat on the ice, everything. So then every bar within a 10-mile radius was just Penguin fans going nuts.
Going nuts.
I was wearing Captain Ron. It was my birthday. I was like, they bought me like 1,000 shots. I was hungover for like 3 days. I didn't go to work that next Monday. That was Friday. That's how like drunk I was. It was amazing. Nice.
That's how you got to do it.
That's the Penguin fans. That's how we got to do it. Hockey in general.
Yeah,
well, it's been a fun episode.
Yeah,
we didn't. You know, we're trying to just. It's the summer. Killing time.
Can you tell we're vamping?
And guys, just so you know, you were talking, Fraze, about that Summit Series. While you've been going through and telling stories, I've been just kind of checking some of the facts on it. But it is an amazing, for any listener, if you're looking right now yourself to fill your hockey fix for the summer, check this out, because one of the first game, apparently the Soviets refused to release their lineup. Like, they wouldn't tell who was going to be on the team and who was going to play at all. And apparently the official scorer had to go into the locker room right before they took the ice and demanded their actual roster. They refused to tell anyone who was going to play.
I didn't know that, but I know there was a lot of international intrigue.
This is an amazing. If there isn't a documentary on it, it's a shame, because this is an amazing story.
Yeah, the one on HBO is amazing.
I gotta see it.
I'm sure if you have HBO Demand or whatever, you can get it. Yeah,
it was a thrilling series,
and it has that Liev Schreiber guy, so it just sounds beautiful.
I gotta see that.
Yeah.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Scott, because it was a thrilling series, and for the summer, it is a good thing. For everyone's home, to go and check it out,
absolutely. Well, Scott, great job today. Thanks for
thanks, buddy. Thank you, man.
Appreciate it.
Guest producer,
good.
Guy does it all.
Well, he's a sportscaster.
Yeah,
he knows what he's doing.
I know. I'll be gone next week.
I'll be gone. It'll be the Scott Show.
I'll be gone.
Hartford Whaler stories for days.
Well, all we hear about is the Whalers.
Yeah, the Whalers.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us, guys.
Yeah, I will be with the Queen in Orange County Friday night, and then
at the Grove,
yes.
Oh, and then show.
Avalanche Country in outside of Denver on Saturday, and then starting a new every 2 weeks now, I'm going to be having a show at Inside Jokes on Tuesday nights.
Oh, awesome!
If you're in the LA area,
yeah, good.
Come on down. And Frage on the mothership.
Yeah,
KLOS.
Man. KLOS, we're rocking. Thanks for bringing
Pete
up.
Pete
Rose is pretty awesome, man. He was awesome.
Yeah.
You know,
anyone this week we got a.
This week I have Pete Carroll.
Whoa. From
a Super Bowl champion Seahawks.
Wow.
Will be joining me on the show.
Look at that.
Yeah. Yeah. What a Rolodex.
Yeah, yeah.
Do they still have Rolodexes? I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
But yeah, I've been very fortunate with the guests, and it'll be exciting to have Pete on there, too. And I loved having Pete Rose.
Yeah,
very interesting.
That's a thrill.
Yeah.
Well, everybody, like I said, thanks for listening. Thanks for all the emails. Like I said, we'll talk about it on the air.
And Kirby, we love you.
Yeah, Kirby,
there.
We love you. And a little love to the 70s era Flyers. And we'll get our fantasy team going. Like us on Puck Off. And once again, thank you, Scott. I'm Joe Bartnick, at Joe Bartnick on Twitter, at Frasier Comedy.
Yeah.
And thanks for listening.
Thanks, gang.